With Tom being poorly, he will still most definitely have a job at the end of this sermon. This will be sermon light this morning, so bear with me. I'm going to just start off by reminding you of something, because I picked up on this sermon that Tom did last month on the 5th of January. Whose memory is good? Well, that's a good start. Can you remember what the sermon was about? What was the reading? He was measuring the width, the length, the height, and dropping a hint to me to repair this floor down here that this gentleman's about to disappear down later today. It was Ephesians 3, the prayer. And I just thought this morning we'll go through a little bit of that again to reiterate where we were with it. Now, can you remember Tom had people read out passages from the Bible but held a piece of paper up with a word on? Can anybody remember what the words were? No. Didn't go too well, Tom, did it, this? It was busy, bold, Bible, and love. All bits and bobs that describe our church family and the church's, this church's life. It is a busy church, it's a good thing. It's a bold church because it reaches out. It's very Bible-based. And there's a lot of love in here that we can share with other people. And it's that love that I want to just explain how I get over getting it over. Because it's always difficult sometimes that when you meet new people that are not Christian, how do you reach out to them without sounding like a weirdo? Now, I am a weirdo, so I've got no chance there. But it's just being authentic. So I thought we'd go through this again. Can you remember the card that everybody has got there on there? To grasp how wide, how long, how deep is the love of Christ? It's like a strap line that we've got for this season, if you like. And right now, Julie's going to come up and just do that reading for us.
Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14, 21. It's a prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Can you remember also on those signs that we held up, it was bold, busy, Bible, love. Love had two lines through it, because sometimes we forget through all the busyness and being bold and our own delve into the Bible to reach out. So that love is not seen sometimes, and sometimes we forget to go back to God, to stand in silence with him and just ask for encouragement. Tom's message was not one of a church bereft of love, because it was too busy, or because it was too bold. The church needs to be bold and needs to be busy, and it's great that it is. The Bible, our preaching here, is so Bible-based. We're so blessed with Tom. His Bible teaching is just incredible. All these things and more are so informative, inspiring, and uplifting. The Bible demonstrates to us the love we have to extend to other people. All this love for us, so affirming, so utterly reliable, so personal to us that we can forget to give time to communicate that love to others. So I want us to just look at being kind to ourselves and not beating ourselves up that we've missed an opportunity. Just taking time out to listen to God. When we have some good news, and I want you to imagine now, this is going to be a real tough ask. I want you to imagine, try really hard, that after such a bad run, Leicester City beat Liverpool 7-0 to stay in the Premiership. Even as a neutral, it's worth talking about to others. And people will talk about it, and they will cheer, and they will clap. How much more then is life full of love shown to us when we are least able to recognize it because we're too busy trying to be bold and not communicating the simplicity of God's message of hope for everyone. In a former life, my wife and I, we were both street pastors in Leicester City Centre. And that's where I met my wife, actually. She'll tell you the story if you want a cure for insomnia. But she and I trained at about the same time. In fact, Julia was a street pastor before me. And I remember the very first night when I went out on the streets, I thought, what happens if somebody asks me something in the Bible? Because I've got a terrible memory. And if somebody quotes something out of the Bible, I'm going to really struggle to answer it. Well, in the end, I met a guy, and it was on the first night, that knew a lot about the Bible. He was quoting so many things. He was blind drunk. But he said, oh, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, that's in the Bible. He said, thou shalt not kill, that's in the Bible. And his next one was, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't get it to drink. That's in the Bible. So I thought that put me at my ease because he knows as much as I do. It's listening to people in their place at that time that surprises them that the church was on the streets between 10 and 4 o'clock in the morning to help practically, to be there alongside them as a friend, not preaching, but being there to help them out. That opportunity that God shows us, sometimes we miss because we're very, very busy. And it taught me a great lesson, being on the streets. We did it for 17, 18 years. We don't do it any longer, but the teams still go out onto the streets of Leicester. And your prayers would be much appreciated for the teams that do go out. It was a real eye-opener because all I had to be was authentic. They were talking to Russ Bentley. They weren't talking to a Bible scholar. I knew what Jesus had done for me in my life, and I could only communicate that in the way that I could communicate it. And that's a very easy way of looking at how we can see the opportunities that God gives us. All the things we are busy and bold with is something we can share with others as long as it's communicated with humility and faith. We're here to serve. And we do that best when we are vulnerable to God, when he pulls us up, saying to us, slow down. Give me some time to walk us alongside you and chat with you. The simplest way for to do this is in prayer. And this reading from Philippians is a prayer. It is a prayer from Paul for us, for the church. In many ways, Paul's message to the church in Ephesus is one of great encouragement. This is a church that's thriving, and when we ever feel discouraged or wonder if God really cares, even to the point of whether being busy in a Christian life is worth it or not, read Ephesians. It is without doubt a good news book. Paul's letter to the Ephesians expands on the parable of the lost son. He wants to tell us more about God's plans for all mankind, to draw together Jews and Gentiles. He especially wants the church to bring the lost to know Christ and be part of a church family that adopts orphans from a fallen world, just as we are adopted sons and daughters of Christ. So this passage is a prayer for us. We are the church, and Paul's appeal to us is as relevant today as it has ever been. He kneels before the Father. There's a vulnerability and a reverence in his kneeling, and in doing so, Paul shows humility and respect to Almighty God, and he acknowledges his power and praises his glorious gifts. In that moment, he is communing with the Lord, having time out. His prayer is full of encouragement for the individual and the church, praising the rootedness of their faith and citing the width and length and height and depth of God's love for all. He kneels in front of God to intercede on the church's behalf, just as we need sometimes to stop and know that God is there. He's with us in our busyness, but he wants us to stop and hear him as he hears us. We can sometimes wonder, as I did on the first night of Street Pastors, whether my CV is good enough to do this work. But Paul's CV was absolute rubbish. He wasn't a very nice chap. So he was struck down, blinded on the road to Damascus, and then, when he was at his lowest ebb, he was restored by Jesus and given the task of growing the church alongside the other apostles. He was a polar opposite of a Christian, dedicated to their destruction, a bully and evil. Yet this dedication was turned completely around to God's purpose. His modus operandi hadn't changed. He could still be seen as a person well versed in managing people and getting what he wanted. But this time, it's what Jesus wanted. Sometimes we can feel that we're at a low ebb. Sometimes we need to go back to Jesus and just sit in a quiet room, or, as I did last Sunday morning in Norfolk, watch the sunrise over the sea, to see God's glory, to see it in its fullness, to see his creation, nobody else's. It brings you to a point where you then know that you can rely on this God that loves us so much. Paul must have found his former work of getting rid of Christians so much easier than making more Christians. But he was truly busy and unashamedly bold in his mission. He wasn't getting any younger. And that's no excuse. There is no retirement in Christianity. It's to the end. But he recognized the need to communicate with God for his guidance and how to guide others. So he kneels before God, a vulnerable man made, in his words, a prisoner of Christ. And he considers himself to be less than the least of all God's people. And it's in this humble attitude before God that he prays for the church, the lost, and the saved. In our present day world, prayer has never been more important. How many times have you said to yourself out loud, "What's the world coming to? I just don't get it." And when we see some of the awful things, we say, "Why?" We say this as if we've given up. We've worn ourselves out with busyness and trying to be bold. And we feel desperate. We can't do anything. Everything has brought us to our knees. Good. Because it's now that we are so vulnerable, so devoid of answers, that we can't do any more. But God can. We go to him in prayer. When we have done all we can, God steps in and does what we can't. If we do things in our own strength, we will have some success. If we continue in our own strength, we can become more self-reliant, almost to the point of denying God the glory for his own mission. Our belief in being able to do everything takes over from the belief we have in God. And that self-reliance begins to replace the one whose work we are doing, eroding our belief in God, and displays a less than faithful allegiance to the Almighty, leading us to a dark place. The reading that Tom was going to use today, and may well be using next week, if he's well enough, was one of Jesus as the light. And even because I'm an electrician, I know a bit about lighting. But I'm still stubborn enough to get up for my nightly jaunts to the loo three or four times a night, not to put the light on, and stub my toe on a cupboard I didn't realise was there. We rely so much on ourselves. We should switch on that light and follow that light. In John, Jesus cries out, "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." We don't need to know or worry about how to put it all right, but God knows, and in his light, he will help us to do it. Stop a while, commune with God, speak to him, ask him the way forward. Get him to show us the opportunities and act on them as best we can. The hymn says, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." So let us be a busy church, full of bold ambition. But let us do this in strength with a faith firmly built on the truth of the Bible, so that when we're asked what we're about, the love of Jesus speaks through us and touches lives seeking something to fill a hole in their lives, that they will see Jesus working in and around us and want to know more. Paul's prayer encourages to join him on our knees to praise God for his gifts. And when we are praying together and encourage each other with love and God's purpose, we strengthen our faith together, that we may go out from here in the name of Christ to do his bidding and welcome all into the fold, so everyone may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen. And whilst the band move back, I'm just going to read that reading again as a prayer. So if we bow our heads, "For this reason we kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is in work with us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." We will now sing with the band.